Scripture is a reminder of each one of us as a believer, and it's a wonderful thing to look forward to, but I want to make sure everybody's, all testimonies finished? Yes? Okay, good. That's long enough. I'm getting the ideas. It's from 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And verse 1. And Paul had such an amazing relationship with the Holy Spirit. And the revelations and understanding that this man had, and I know he was a very devout and religious person before he became born again. And God purged a lot of things out of him, but he also had now he had as a spiritual awakening of being born again. The Lord showed him so much. I mean, we have his letters. But here is a scripture that has just, I think Tuesday, this was for today. And so I began, one of the first things I do is I start thinking about it, and I start meditating on it, and I start mulling it over, and I start writing down things about it. You know, Barb had mentioned that at Bible study the other night about how you can take a verse of scripture and keep a notebook handy, because the more you meditate on it and the more you think about it, the Holy Spirit gives you a lot of insights and spiritual understanding and application of the word. So here's what Paul wrote. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Now, first off, the first thing that comes to mind is the earthly house. And I have some other notes about that, but the first ones, it says, for we know. That means we know with assurance. Whenever you read from the scriptures, there's an assurance, there's a confidence, there's a knowing. It's not an uncertainty, because look who the author of the scriptures are. There is. But I'm thinking about our body, not as the body of Christ at large, but each one of us as a believer. And he's talking about our earthly house. That's the flesh part of our body that contains the spirit. And he said, if this earthly house of this tabernacle, Paul was a tent maker. Do any of you remember that from the scriptures? That he was a tent maker by trade? He knew a lot about moving tents, setting them up, taking them down. We did a lot of tent meetings, and I can tell you it took longer to put the tent up than it did to have the meeting sometimes. We've had a couple that covered the whole yard and down into the parking lot here. And so, but he's looking at you and I. And he said, if this earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, I was trying to think of a substance or something that I could bring and demonstrate this principle, that if you put it in water, it would dissolve and it would disappear. But there's another kind of dissolve. What you see, you don't always see what it contains within it. So if there was some item that I couldn't come up with anything because I wanted to do this, I could see it in my spirit. If we could just imagine each other dissolving, all the outer stuff just dissolving, what remains is the spirit of the living God that dwells within each believer. The worth and the preciousness of that. And the word dissolved, it also, well, I'll just read some more of my notes. Paul's message is that true Christians, through their firm faith, can be assured of an eternal home in heaven. And that is one of the most important assurances that a believer has. You know, we can say, well, it really doesn't matter how we die, where we die. Do we come to church and talk about life, and now we're talking about dying? But just temporarily, to illustrate Paul's point. We all know that as long as we live in these earth suits, they weren't designed to live forever. I just call it an earth suit because you could teach Sunday school kids these principles. But we house the Spirit. It's like the tabernacle held the presence of the Lord in the Old Covenant. And you guys know a lot more than I do about that, but the tabernacle was moved from time to time, wasn't it? And what happened when they moved the tabernacle? They have to take it down, carry it off, and set it back up again somewhere else. So Paul is looking at our life as that tabernacle. And it's good for us to look at ourselves that way. You as a believer house, if you will, you give the Holy Spirit residence. And he's not Casper the friendly ghost. He doesn't just come and go. He abides with us forever. Jesus said that he would send the Comforter to abide with us forever. Now, even after the earth suit, this dissolving, it's funny because sometimes I've gone to lots of funerals. I've officiated a lot of funerals. And I've seen and done services where people were cremated. I've done some where the person was still in the casket. And we put paint and all kinds of stuff on them to preserve them. But in a few days, you know, the end is going to be the end for that body. And how Paul talks about how these things happen. And you can read more of that in that chapter, but also he talks about the natural body and the spiritual body going back into 1 Corinthians chapter 15. But he's always making it in reference to there is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And this is talking about the spiritual body. We have a building of God. Okay, I want to read the rest of my notes about for we know. Because this is really important. It's not so much what we think, it's what we know. And I would go to the extent of what has been revealed to each of us by the Spirit, because that's that's where true knowledge comes. Otherwise, we just can just gather information. But when the Holy Spirit speaks to us through the Word or even a word to you, it's going to cut right through, and you have that understanding. This knowledge is not knowledge gained from their own intelligence or from their experiences, because we all have them, or even knowledge learned from the teachings of other men. Instead, it is knowledge given by divine revelation from the Holy Spirit. This revelation, how can we be so sure that heaven is our home? How do we know that? That's an example. What's that, Jana?
Because God said so.
Okay. That's all we need to know. If our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, and I always get ahead of my notes, I write all these things down, and then I... So part two. During the Israelites' travels across the wilderness, they worshipped in God's house called a tabernacle. In this tabernacle, the Spirit of God dwelled in the area called the Most Holy Place. Now, let me ask you, if all of the ordinances about how the gathering was to be held in the tabernacle and later in the temple once the temple was erected, how much more do you think you, housing the Holy Spirit, the significance of what Jesus made provision for you at Calvary's cross? Think about that. The Holy Spirit won't live in a dirty house. He won't. And that's why we got to quit thinking about what I did and what I could have done, what I should have done, and I need to confess this and I need to confess that. Those are nice if you want to keep your own spiritual checklist. But the revelation is the fact that Jesus Christ took his blood and offered it on the mercy seat in heaven, not the one in the tabernacle, not the one in the temple, but the one in heaven that those things were patterned after. That means, because you're in Christ now, God doesn't look at your work, he looks at his work. And each one of you are made in his image. Each one of you are washed in his precious blood. And I want to tell you, quit beating yourself up and quit beating others up. This is a fact. This is a revelation that needs to happen in your life so that if you get off course, thank God for the Holy Spirit because he's going to bring you back. You know, if you take a wrong turn because you listen to your wife giving you directions, no, it's usually because we took a wrong turn because we didn't listen. And I speak for me. Then they all, see, I told you should have turned left and you turned right. God, by the Holy Spirit, will do the same thing. Wherever you took a left turn, the Spirit is ultimately going to nudge you and bring you back to the right way. But that blood is so important because that's what made you holy. You see, when God said, be holy as I am holy, it wasn't about keeping 613 commandments every day. It's about looking at the one offering that was given for all of eternity. There'll never be another offering because nothing can ever exceed above the offering that God already made for every believer. Actually, the provision's been made even for the lost. They just haven't got saved yet to receive that. So look at your life differently. I don't make light of sin or falling short of the mark, but I look at what God did. Because sometimes people can really get in the funk and they start tearing themselves down, start thinking, oh, I'm not worthy and blah, 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 and all that kind of stuff. You're the tabernacle now. You're the tent. You're the dwelling place for the Holy Spirit. And always remember that. If you forget a lot of other things, don't forget that. Because that's how much God showed his favor, that he would place his Spirit. That's how the gospel is perpetuated throughout all generations. That's why the body of Christ is so important. Jesus came and he brought the character and the nature and presence of God everywhere he went, every word he spoke, every deed he did, every work he worked. It was because of the Father in him that did the work. Now, we're the body. We're the Lord in bodily form, if you will. We're the Lord. We're the earthly representation of what God designed. The body of Christ. Each of you individually is a body of Christ. And so now Paul goes on. If our earthly house of this tabernacle, okay. Paul was a tent maker. Oh, okay, I got to go back to the tabernacle. Place unto the end of their pilgrimage in which God's Spirit merged into the more permanent structure called the Temple of Solomon. It's a historical footprint. You can go back and read through the scriptures. This was then, this was then, this was then. Then a little bit later, and you can see the progression. And even in Solomon's temple, in all its glory and all its splendor, was a dump compared to what you are. Come on, church, get a revelation.
Amen.
Started in a tent in the wilderness. And then this most ornate and gorgeous and beautiful temple. And everything was just so like heaven on earth almost, because it was patterned after heaven. And now look at you. Housing the very thing that man cannot build, but God built it. He made you. He created you. I'm just filled with so many things in here. I got to move on. Paul was very clearly in understanding of tents. And he says, in this passage, Paul describes the believer's life after death by emphasizing the differences between the heavenly home and the earthly home. He contrasts our temporary earthly body. See, these are things like this where I get the word earth suit. You know, you go into space, you got to have a space suit. You live on earth, you need an earth suit. Which, like the physical tabernacle, will eventually wear out and be of no value to our eternal heavenly body that will last forever. The earthly house of this tabernacle refers to the fact that the fleshly and perishable body in which we now live will be dissolved. It's going back to the dust of the earth exactly like God said it would. And you can try to preserve it, you can paint it up, and you can make it look good and walk by the casket and say, doesn't she look lovely? Oh, he looks so, why, I remember he looks like he was 20. Talk to the people that put all the makeup on. And you know, they, we do the best we can. We honor the dead and we dress them all up like we want to preserve them. And we do everything we can to preserve them. But guess what? The spirit already checked out. And we're dressing up an empty shell. Sorry, but I've done a lot of funerals and I have a lot of understanding about all of that process. And we do that out of love and respect and honor. We really do. But there's a so much deeper thing that's happening. I've had to talk to kids whose dad just blew his head off in the pickup truck. All of his friends. And do a funeral. And they don't understand death. They don't understand dying because nobody talks about these things. It's taboo. So I use a funeral. Because even kids, if you know, they have to know that we're in three parts, spirit, soul, and body. And when a body dies, it's because the spirit left. And see, you can teach young people these truths. A lot of parents never dared to talk to the kids about that because one day they're going to be planting us. The good news is we won't be in the earth suit and they can do whatever they want. Because of this hope, Paul talked about the suffering of humanity, the suffering that he personally endured for the gospel, and all of the apostles too, every one of them. It cost them their lives. But in the end, he gave them this assurance that don't worry about it. When that day comes, God will prepare you for that day. But know this, that there's something beyond, and this is what's beyond. Remember when Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions. I go there to prepare a place for you. That's very much connected. But this thing about the tabernacle being dissolved, it's the tearing down, it's the breaking down of, to reveal what's on the inside. We have a building of God, a house not made with hands. Since our earthly body is perishable, we are promised by God that this tabernacle, this fragile body, or our earth suits, they're not eternal. But there's a building inside of you that is. And that's the tabernacle of the Lord. That's your spirit. This is an adult conversation today. But, you know, sometimes we have to remind ourselves. We see people dying all around us. And it's part of life. We live to die and die to live. And I'm not afraid to talk about things like this, you know, because When you understand as a believer, there's so much more to our life than meets the eye. We're very complex creatures. And so I'm going to conclude with something that Paul wrote to the church at Philippi. He said, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. In the Tuesday night Bible studies, a lot of times it's with Jesse, and then there's two other people that have been coming, We were talking about 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and Paul makes the argument, the case for the resurrection of Christ from the dead, because he says if Christ had not raised from the dead, then we above all who preach this would be the most foolish among men. And he talked about the resurrection of our bodies. Do you know the day that Jesus rose from the dead, all the Old Testament believers were raised from the dead and they were walking through the streets of Jerusalem? That's the power of his resurrection. That's the power of the new life that he's given in you. We've been raised from the dead. That's our first resurrection. Paul talked about that. The first resurrection is when you get saved. God, you die to the old man, the new creation up there on that banner, and you've been given a new spirit that's eternal. And your second resurrection is when you graduate. It's a big step up, and it's going to be glorious. And we shouldn't dread it. We shouldn't fear it. We should embrace it when it happens and rejoice with those who have gone on before us. And I know we miss people and we long for them and we grieve them. But I'm going to end this with this. A dear sister who was here for many years, she had such an outward, vibrant, outgoing spirit that she just bubbled. You know, people like that, they just bubble with enthusiasm and never have a bad word to say. She got cancer and went through all the chemo and radiation and all of those things, and I got to know her even better because I drove her up to Dartmouth to the infusion parlor. They dress it all up. And she got so cold with the chemo going into her. The last time I took her up there, she came home, and she had a stroke that night after she came home. And she couldn't talk anymore. And there were three or four of us from here praying with her and in her home because she couldn't go anywhere anymore. She could still write, and she wrote, "Please stop praying for me. I want to go home." That was her desire. And you know, that changed the way I pray for people in that state. Because I never considered what's the will of the person when they've tasted a glimpse of glory. Am I going to keep praying that God will keep her here or him here in all of this agony and pain and suffering? Or am I going to be an adult in the room and release them? If they're not saved, that's a whole different ballgame. But if they're saved, their will and what they desire with the last remaining days of their life is something to think about and something to consider. And I love how Paul did it so beautifully. That's our hope. Our hope of glory is in him, and it will always be in him. Mm-hmm.